He just got excited.
Tell me you're excited without telling me you're excited. You'll go first.
Oh, boy. All right, Tim. 11 o'clock.
Does he know? That's the man that needs to know.
Ready to go? Okay.
I think we're still recording. All right, Tim. Day three, AHR in Chicago. Appetite for Construction podcast. How you holding up?
I'm feeling good, actually. I'm quite shocked. My feet feel good. After the first day, I was a little sore yesterday. I bounced back, and today I feel perfect. I've got another three or four days of trade shows at me.
Listen, you look good too, Tim. Okay, let's just let everybody know. Not only does he feel good, he looks good. Okay?
Nothing about a little Percocet can.
That and about three shots of espresso at the
club. I don't know what you're talking about there, Johnny, but I don't know what you mean.
That's right. So we are here at the Podcast Pavilion.
JP, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, how are you doing on day three?
I'm not good.
No comment.
Oh, you know, we've talked about this 20 years for me, 22 years going to this show, and every day I get a little slower moving, so.
Do we need to get you one of those little jazzy scooters?
I'm going to get one next year.
Little bell on it, like Pee-wee Herman.
Hold on, Leslie, a sit-down scooter.
Yeah, sit-down scooter, and it's governed for speed. You can only go so fast.
It doesn't tip over.
Yeah.
It doesn't tip over. It's not on the street of Indianapolis. You know,
comes with bubble wrap.
Okay, so we are super excited to have Leslie McGlennon, the Pipe Wench.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Alan Carlson.
Listen, Coach C needs no introduction, but that's
Coach.
Okay.
Coach. The coach.
The coach.
I mean, you should have seen his get up yesterday. He had the old...
he looked like the 85 coach.
Yeah.
Ditka was in the house.
Listen, when a great trade show as big as this comes to one of the greatest cities in the world... You know, you got to have locals represent the local
culture, right?
So you got to show off the Bears, Nick, the coach. Come on. Now.
I almost came as Bozo the Clown.
Remember? That would have been a real deep cut of Chicago culture. Yeah. Only a few would have got that. Everybody else would have thought you're a little bit nuts.
Yeah. See, I always joke around that he's Batman, I'm Robin.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that would be a good get up sometime.
Listen, you could also get up as dress up like a Transformer because they film those movies here.
That's true.
As we're driving around, I'm like, hey, Leslie, over there, that's where they film Batman. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, it's Lower Wacker. Anything can happen there.
Well, lots of stuff happens there.
This is my first time.
First time in Chicago.
Yep.
First time. Imagine.
Wow.
I would like to come back in nicer weather.
Yes. It's one of the greatest cities in the world in the summer.
Yes. Yeah.
Listen, we got a shout endorsement from Bruno. He was walking around on Sunday when it was like 12 degrees out. He loved it. Bruno loves Chicago. So, I mean... What other endorsement do we need, am I right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
All the way from Germany.
All the way from Germany. that man knows, all right?
So I do have some, like, serious questions.
Oh, okay.
To ask you.
Why so serious?
No,
but...
you're here for a reason.
Listen,
okay. Yeah.
I just thought you wanted to hang out.
Alan, you went through, like, a hell of a year last year, and you transitioned to a...
She transitioned?
Yeah, listen, it's 2024. It's okay, John. I know what you mean. I've made some...
You went to a new job.
Yes.
And you're killing it, and you say it's a great thing for you.
You look happy.
Yes. It's a better working environment. It's a better management and leadership structure. For me, as an installer, a tech, I can thrive. And my direct service manager's always asking me, what do you need? How can I help?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of when I get called in the office, it's like, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. It's totally different. And also, too, my role has changed because at the last place I was working at, I was one of the youngest plumbers there, and I'm 41 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm one of the old guys. We have a kid who's a third-year apprentice running calls. He's 19 years old.
Yeah.
And he's killing it. He's doing great. Really young, really hungry, hard worker, great. But I've been plumbing longer than he's been alive.
Yeah.
So
does he ride along with you?
No, he's in his own truck. No, he's running service calls on his own. A lot of the trucks we try we've had some more trucks go out on the road now, so we try to have two-man trucks, a helper or apprentice, but we're still trying to find new guys. We have a lot of great apprentices at my place, a lot of young guys actually who want to work hard, care about their job, the trade, learning. So that's how I've kind of transitioned to more of actual Coach C, like in not just online, but like at work. Because when those apprentices ride with me and I'm doing things a certain way, they've never seen it done or a certain thing, or, oh, why'd you do it that way? It's like, oh, Coach says this, or I learned this way, or I can actually
mentor them,
teach and instruct and mentor them and you know, in a plumber apprentice way.
And I did see a post, I don't know how long ago it was, but you were like on training like in Virginia?
Or? Yeah, so that's the company I work for is a Nexstar service system company. So that was a Nexstar training, basically learning the service systems of Nexstar, learning their program. It's basically about how you interact with the homeowner in their home, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's not about plumbing. It's not technical training. I got that down. It's all the other little things you may not think about when it comes to just the beginning, the greeting, how you greet the customer, how you handle it, how you can build that rapport, how you can build your trust with them so they don't just see us walking their home as just some guy who's trying to sell me something, right? You want to, we're trying to avoid that negative stigma of, you know, bad, you know, plumbers are just out to rip you off and stuff like that. So there's ways to properly nip that in the bud before you even, that could even come up. So that's all part of what that training is.
Leslie, you said your first trip to Chicago. Is this your first AHR?
No, this is my third AHR.
Okay, so here in Chicago, you've been walking the floor for the last 2 days. What are you seeing that intrigues you? What are you seeing that you're interested in? What are you learning on the floor?
Wear comfier shoes next time.
That was number one on my list.
Number one. And then just meeting new companies and interacting, finding new technologies and brands that I could use in my everyday work life, and making those connections. Like you talk to companies online or through emails and stuff, but then when you actually come and get to meet the person behind the screen, just creates that extra bond and like get to shake their hand. Like we couldn't do that for a couple years, so it feels
good. Here's the person, you're getting to actually meet the face of the person you know from emails and Zoom calls and stuff. Alan, what about you? Are you seeing anything on the floor that's jumped out at you?
There's always, I stopped by Bradford White yesterday because that's the main water heater that I install and have installed for years, and so it's nice to actually talk to them because I actually brought up some gripes I have about certain things. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, not bad things, but just things like, hey, why do you do this? What's with that? I've seen this. And you're actually able to talk face-to-face to the manufacturer, and then I'm standing right there by their new condensing tankless water heater, and so I was asking them, because I typically use a different brand, but it's like, if I'm already using Bradford tank, show me the benefits of using your Bradford tankless. And we were going through stuff and talking about stuff, and they were telling me some of the things they have, and the actual like product managers for that, and I was actually able to come up with some suggestions, because they include with theirs the service valve kit for the tankless versus say another brand, Navien, we have to buy a separate service kit. You know, I'm going through Brasscraft or Webstone Nibco or something like that. Bradford has their own, and they were talking about, oh, this is the one connection style we have. I'm like, well, maybe you should think about other things. Let's try something else, because maybe everyone doesn't want to do just a Sweat or IP or ProPress. It's nice to talk to them again face-to-face to an actual manufacturer who's not necessarily some 1-800 number helpline customer service thing where that message may not get through. So it's nice to actually...
Yeah. So this week, you know, we talked just earlier, we're going to the WET show.
Oh,
which is an Indianapolis wastewater drain cleaning show.
Mm-hmm.
You both have been to that.
Yep.
How would you say, I mean, I know what my answer is, but the difference between that show and this show...
This one's a lot bigger, not only physically because of the building we're in, but the amount of vendors.
Yeah.
This one is obviously more centered on HVAC and refrigeration, which I don't do.
Yeah.
WET show, there's a lot. There's.
But more. Do you feel like the WET show is more like connectedness and there's more community?
I personally think. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's right.
I think because like here, like this year especially, there's a lot of meetups and booth activities and things like that, which were scattered about. So the first couple of days, we just spent going from booth to booth to booth trying to like find people and talk to people, whereas you know, WET show is a little bit smaller, it's a little more connected, you don't have to, a little more relaxed vibe, if you will.
So
the community is all going to hang out in a few booths, all going to be in relatively the same area, where here it's a little bit more spread out simply because of the size and the amount of vendors there are, the amount of things that there are for so many people to do. So it is a little more connected in that way.
Yeah. Okay. So Leslie, how long are you away from home and work?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. So you just shut down the business?
Yeah.
You do. Okay.
Well, I have to deal with all the calls and emails and everything in between doing all these things.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you get back and it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it's piling up.
More importantly, are you looking forward to getting back to wet?
To wet?
Yeah, are you looking forward to getting back?
Yeah, I am looking forward, yeah. We need to make a stop and buy.
Any plans while you're at wet?
Yeah. We need to buy roadside chalk. And I want to get a scooter and outline a scooter.
Okay, for those of us in the audience that might be listening to this podcast that don't know what you're talking about, give us the 50s, you know, the minute story behind what you're talking about.
I made it to wet for one day, and then I had a scooter incident, broke my jaw. So I wasn't able to attend the rest of the show. So this trip, I'll be able to see the full show. Looking forward to that.
No scoots.
Yeah. No scoots.
I am keeping an eye on her to make sure no slips, no falls. We were walking outside the show yesterday. And
when
all
it
that,
was slick
all,
as hell.
All that slick ice. I'm like, Leslie, hold on to me. Yeah. I'm falling now. There's no way. Not on my watch.
What about Uber. A Segway or something?
No. I haven't even ridden a bike since I fell off the scooter. I think there's a little bit of PTSD with that. Like, just the whole falling off something with wheels.
Right on.
Well, we get to see him in a day.
Yeah.
At WET in Indianapolis, but it's been great spending a few minutes with you two.
Yeah.
You guys are friends of ours.
Yeah.
Alan for quite some time.
Well, you know.
Leslie over the last couple of years.
Yeah. And,
Leslie, were you part of the porta potty thing last year?
Oh no!
No, that she was.
No, I wasn't.
She was light up.
I was in it the day before.
Oh, that's right.
Taking pictures.
No, you did. I thought it was the coolest thing. You on the wet show floor.
How many people can get in?
They shot a video.
That was
last
minute.
15 people came out of this.
Yeah,
that was last minute. We just thought of that. It was either like Rob Prodrains or Mary, I think. I'm not sure. One of them like, hey, we should do this.
Poor person that had to actually crawl in.
Walk over. They're like, can we do that? The booth lady's like, I don't care. Go ahead.
Yeah.
She's like, taking the video for us. She's like, I don't care. I'm like, all right.
Just as long as it's not been used.
No, come on. we're gonna try and see if we're gonna organize something better this year. Maybe like day two, you know, so it's not last day, and like see how many we can actually fit in there. So we're gonna try something. All right. So.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you at WET in Indianapolis, but it's been great seeing you guys run around with all the other influencers and important celebrities. We've got plumbing celebrities at AHR.
You guys are. Well, thanks for jumping on for 15 minutes. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah. We love it.
What's the rest of the day for you?
The rest of the day is walk the show floor for a little bit, see some people for the last time, vendors, people we know, say goodbye, give them hugs. Then we're going to lunch at Rico Benny's because Leslie needs to try the breaded steak sandwich, the sandwich of Chicago.
And then the party bus?
And then we're road tripping to Indy.
Yeah, we have I rented a pickup truck and we are headed down. Yep.
All right.
No party bus for us. It's going to be a little more
safe. Safe travels. We'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Can I just hang out in the bed of the truck and then just...
You certainly can if you want to, but you might not be comfortable back there.
I got a fur coat you could wear.
We sell the fur coat.
You can borrow Leslie's fur coat. Would that make you happy, Johnny?
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Welcome,
thanks so much.
Right. Oh, JP, we're back and better than ever. We're at AHR 2024 in Chicago. Just had Leslie and Alan on. And now we get the great opportunity to introduce Dustin and Dan with Bosch. Dustin Gregoire.
That's correct.
Oh my gosh.
I did it. I can't believe I did it.
Dan Mofroy.
And Dan Monfroid.
Monfroid.
I knew it. They're both French, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
Montreal or something. Yeah. Thank you. You're with Bosch Comfort. Bosch Home Comfort. We were in the booth yesterday, had the pleasure of walking around with Ann. Ann was showing us around the booth, shot some video. Got a lot of great products on display this week here at AHR. Share a little bit about what you have going on in the booth.
Well, the booth is, first off, it's designed to help show our current and future plans. So we have two houses set up in the booth. One house is for the fully electrified home, and the other we call a hybrid house, which is a combination of combustion products, but then also with some electrification. And within that, we have a couple new products. We have a hybrid electric water heater, so using a heat pump. that's coming out this summer. So we're excited for that. Dustin would be happy to talk about our IDS Ultra.
Yeah.
Climate heat pump.
Yep.
That's the one we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the heat pump yesterday.
That's an exciting.
Although Eric was had his interest piqued with the electric water heater, okay. too.
Yep. So when I was doing the interview with Chiu, he was saying that there was a Department of Energy like contest a couple years ago or last year, and that pump was part of it?
Yeah, so there's an ongoing cold climate heat pump challenge. So Bosch has entered that challenge contest, if you will, along with other industry manufacturers, and this is the product that's a result of that. So it's a unit that'll function, operate down to minus 13 degrees. There's certain capacities that you have to hit as a part of the challenge at lower outside ambient temperatures, and it's all to support the electrification push that we see moving from the west part of the country out east.
And I've said this before on this podcast, but, you know, it seems like, you know, with the trends of electrification over the past maybe 10 years, there's certain companies that go, they want to be first to market with these products. And then they come out and they're not feasible in like the northern, really northern cold climates.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I feel like, you know, you're prepared and your products will do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are a heat pump company when it comes to the air conditioning side of the products. We have a combustion portfolio, as Dan was saying. But our focus is not just producing products that the work as designed, but that work how it's needed for the application, right? Certain markets, we need to focus not just on heat pumps, but on dual fuel applications. So that way we're not getting people with exorbitant electric bills. So let's design systems that work for the customer's home, not just to meet a certain metric or standard.
Okay.
So when you're meeting with contractors or specifiers or engineers and designers at the AHR show, and you're showing the new product, such as the IDS, talked about being perfect for extreme cold weather. Are we talking strictly like zone fours and fives, or is it a product that can be used in all areas of the country?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Bosch is a company that has a large portfolio of equipment. So mm-hmm. we have 15, 18, 20 SEER equipment. The product that we're showcasing here is a cold climate heat pump, but we have products that you can sell from the tip of Florida to, you know, to as far north as you can go in Canada, right?
Yes.
The right application, the right backup heat in cases where that's needed on the air conditioning side. But our overall strategy is to have products that can be sold across the country and not be geographically bound by the products we sell.
Yeah, I'm just curious about the, you know, you said the electric side of the house. Are you hearing more from customers about this, or is this in reaction to, like, you know, government regulations, things like that?
Yeah, a lot of it is definitely being driven by government regulations and local building codes.
Right.
And then that, of course, drives the customer to be asking all these questions.
Yes.
But I would say the pull from the market is currently really driven more by the legislation side.
Yep.
And so there's some areas where, you know, if you have a gas product and the legislation is not changing, you're often going to just replace it with another gas product that makes the most economical sense. But the subsidies that the government is also providing within rebates and tax credits, that's also creating some pull from the market as well.
Okay.
Last year, we talked a lot coming out of COVID, concerned about what the market was going to look like in 2023. Mm-hmm. From our perspective and manufacturers we talk to or work with, it was a pretty good year. There was some hesitation on what 2024 was going to look like. It seems like it's always somewhat cyclical. What does 2024 look like for Bosch?
That's very hard to say in January. So what we saw in 2023, I would say, was mixed results.
Yeah.
I mean, for Bosch, very positive results. We're very excited. But the industry numbers we saw was a bit of an inventory correction in some places, certainly, which has mostly, it seems, worked its way through, because the COVID boom, let's call it, you know, everybody was ordering whatever they could.
They could,
because the lead times were very unpredictable.
Yeah.
That's now smoothed out, so we're kind of back to a normal cadence. 2024, I would say we are, at least in Bosch, we feel quite bullish, to be honest. Probably more so than some others. You know, we're also a German company, and there's a lot of concern globally speaking, but that doesn't necessarily translate here to the U.S. So there's some questions around the election. There's some questions around, let's say, geopolitical issues. But speaking of the economy, I think it's looking actually not bad at all.
Pretty resilient. It's felt really resilient.
Employment's low. People have jobs. They're spending money. So, I mean, the reports we get from contractors, for example, is that the demand is not slowing down at all.
Nope.
So have you guys gotten a chance to walk the floor at all? Or kind of?
Yeah, that's today's target.
Today? Okay. I'm just wondering, like, what are you looking for? What interests you when you're walking the floor? Is it similar products? Is it, you know, what are you looking for?
Dan?
Well, part of it is trends.
Yeah.
You know, because what you see kind of helps to describe a little bit what's going on in the market. What's the trends that people are pushing at? And so for us, what's interesting is what's new. You know, that's always the first question. You know, you walk into somebody's booth. If I'm in a competitor's booth, it's to try to understand, okay, what do you have that's new? And what's new is helping inform where's the market going, or where do our colleagues in the industry believe the market is going. And so that's useful information for all of us, really.
Yeah. So we've had a guest on the podcast before, pretty big name, but he says almost every day he gets like 5 emails from the government on regulations and things. It might not be related to, you know, his particular product, but is that similar to what you get?
I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
It's getting a little bit out of control.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Do you have like a dedicated staff for this?
I wish we had more.
Yeah.
Because it is very hard to keep up.
Yeah.
And the good folks at AHRI, our trade association, support a lot. They also can only do so much because we don't deal with just a federal standard in the U.S. or in Canada. We still, and not even just state by state. Now it's really city by city.
Yeah. And then, you know, you talk about like a possible change in government and, you know, president perhaps. I mean, that could change the whole dynamic again.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Two steps back, one step forward.
That's part of business.
It's
unpredictable.
I suppose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you mentioned German company. We were lucky enough to be at ISH last year. One of the things that we talked about a lot on a couple podcasts shortly after we got back from ISH was fuel sources. And hydrogen is something that was predominant in what we saw as the next, it's not the next thing there, it's being used there. Mm-hmm. What is that future ever coming to North America?
If it does, it's a long ways away.
Yeah.
And in Europe, yes. I mean, we have, for example, boilers today that work on 100% hydrogen. I mean, that on a product side, that technology exists.
Yes, we saw some of it.
On a production and distribution and usage and, let's say, end user acceptance, it's a long ways away. So producing hydrogen, never mind producing it cleanly, and distributing it in pipes that might not be ready for those pressures, very expensive. A lot of infrastructure changes needed for that.
But that's an area that, you know, Bosch is a technology company. You're talking about our booth, and if you walk around and look at a lot of the different things, one of the things we like to showcase is we are a technology company, and I think you can see that based on the display. We were at CES last week. In Las Vegas, and you know, had the pleasure to ride in one of the hydrogen vehicles that we're supporting. Right, we don't make the vehicle, but we make the hydrogen fuel cell. So, you know, startup company out of Arizona, I believe it is, and it's a very neat technology. But again, it's the distribution, it's the access. How do we make it a viable product for the U.S. market?
And there's uses on the industrial scale. There's uses on the transportation sector. But within heating, cooling space, I think it's a long ways away.
Yep.
I was just thinking of this, but how long have you both been with Bosch?
Pretty equal. 21 years.
20 years this past September.
I'm just, you look at the booth today, you said there's a hybrid system, or, you know, the hybrid part, and then there's the electric part. talk about the advancement of that booth over like the past 5 years, because it's, you know, you're catering to an audience and what's what the future is, right? The trend. But what was the booth like 5 years ago? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Was it similar to this?
I think this is terribly exciting. Yeah. What's happening in the industry today?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's say complicated.
Yeah.
But really exciting, because we are definitely at a time of transition.
Yeah.
And yeah, 5 years ago, in our booth, you would have seen maybe an air conditioning product,
yep,
and a lot of gas boilers and water heaters.
Yeah.
And we've really expanded our total portfolio.
But I think it's very smart the way you put the booth together to show that, you know, that what the home would look like electrically and what it would look like.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And we really wanted to communicate that, you know, as Bosch, we want to prepare the world for electrification.
Yeah.
But we understand the world's not there today.
Yeah.
The market is still looking for combustion products as well.
Yeah.
Well, Dustin and Dan, thank you very much for joining John and I on a episode of Appetite for Construction live at AHR 2024 in Chicago. As I said earlier in the intro, we were in the booth yesterday, got to see a lot of the new products, shot some video. Looking forward to a lot of new innovative stuff coming in 2024 and down the road. Thanks again for joining us on Appetite for Construction.
Yeah,
thanks absolutely. So much,
Dan. Appreciate
you guys. You guys taking off today or tomorrow?
This evening, flying back. Yep.
And where is?
I'm in Boston. Dustin's in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We won't talk about the Cowboys then.
No, the Patriots.
Oh, dang. That's true. Well, thanks, guys. We really appreciate you jumping
Thank
on.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Enjoy thanks, it. Guys.
John, episode 3, episode 4, I've lost track. Podcast live at 2024 AHR Expo in Chicago.
Yeah.
Appetite for Construction. What is this, our third year doing podcasts at AHR?
I think so, yeah.
The first year was kind of an oddity. We were happy to do it. Last year, we were really excited. This year was even more exciting because it felt like we were not rock stars. Because the real rock stars are the contractors and influencers that are actually doing a lot of the work. But it's fun to intermingle with some of them and get to know them a little bit better and listen to some of their podcasts, and hopefully they're listening to some of ours as well. But one of the things that we've done in previous podcasts is bring on a lot of guests. We've had several today.
Yep.
We had several yesterday.
Yeah.
And today we get to bring on a podcast guest that we've done several podcasts with in the past.
And he is a rock star.
Brian Cordell. Brian, what is your title? Is it business development director?
Director of business development for residential.
For residential with PERC.
Yep.
Otherwise known as
the Propane Education and Research Council.
Brian, welcome to Appetite for Construction.
And this is different being in person.
I know.
Usually we're just looking at each other over a laptop.
In our shorts and t-shirt.
So,
are you in Texas?
No, I'm in Louisiana.
Louisiana.
That's right.
Yeah. Which, for a guy from Louisiana, today's the warmest I've been in 2 weeks, so I'm really excited.
Gosh, yeah.
So, what are you doing walking around AHR?
So, AHR is a great time for me because I've got so many of our partners in one spot. Mm-hmm. I can meet with the Bosch guys that you were just talking to. We've been working together on a project to hybridize a heat pump, to take away the electric heat strip, use hydronic solutions from tankless hot water heaters. So, get to see them. I've met with so many of our partners, even manufacturers that may not be on display, but their leadership is here, new products that we're bringing to market, and getting to just get it all done in one spot.
Side note, it was cool to hear the little story with Dan. You know, you're sitting there and you introduce yourself to Dan, and he's like, you mentioned something about a brother, and he's like, yeah, my father too. And then the relationship that you had with the Bosch Dan Clampett from Bosch. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah, so the AquaStar tankless water heater in 1986, 2.5 gallons a minute. My dad was an early adopter because he was tired of cold showers. So it was in our attic, and I could fit in the attic. So I got to help install it. AquaStar, so their father brought that product into the U.S., and then Bosch ultimately picks it up, and I think that's kind of how the heritage for that company in the U.S. goes.
Yeah, because your father ran a...
Yeah, we ran a propane company. I was a third generation. Yeah, dad started. Grandfather started in the 1930s. Dad ran it. We had been overseas. We had been exposed to tankless technology when we lived overseas. Came back to the U.S. and you know we had a 40-gallon propane water heater that wouldn't do 4 showers in the morning, and he was last.
So propane really does run in your veins.
Yes, I smell a little bit like Ethelmer Captain.
One of the interesting projects that you did last, I don't know if it occurred last year, but you covered it last year, was the Ruby Ridge.
Ruby's Inn out at Bryce Canyon National Park.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that. Was that with Rinnai?
So Rinnai was the equipment provider for that. Blue Star Gas is the propane provider out there. It started really from a customer service standpoint. Mm-hmm. The resort could not provide enough adequate hot water for their guests. You know, a lot of the tours that come in the summer come in on tour buses. You check in 60 or 120 rooms. They all go take a shower, and their system just couldn't meet the demand. So they worked with Rinnai. So this is several years ago. They made this improvement. They put in the largest single installation of Rinnai tankless water heaters at that time. In the first year of that plant, they saved $60,000, not in operating cost, but in discounts or refunds they didn't give their patrons for cold showers. So they saved money operational. They reduced the amount of energy they were consuming. They got it just in time, all of those. Since then, they've upgraded other facilities, the RV park. They've added another 10 or 15 this year to improve the efficiency of that plant. But ultimately, to give their customers the comfort that they desire. I mean, you know, what's a couple points on a Yelp rating worth these days? How do you even quantify that?
Yeah. So let me just get that right. It was Ruby's Inn.
Ruby's Inn.
Ruby Ridge was like some
yeah, that was
Ruby's Ridge. I was trying to not go back there.
Like, what the hell am I talking about here? But you guys were talking, interestingly, on the floor right before. You're talking about, I can't even pronounce the word, hybridization? Talk about that. What is...
So, I mean, I think we recognize that there are certain things that electric compressors do really well, and they move heat from one spot to another. So taking heat out of the home in winter when there's heat available in the atmosphere. But how do we make it not dependent on electric resistance, pure electrification in the winter, and hybridize or use the electricity when it's the most efficient and the gas when it's most efficient? And maybe it's just a demand side. So you got that third shower, and the electric heat pump water heater couldn't keep up, and you've hybridized and backed it up with a tankless. We're really seeing it on the HVAC side right now, but I think we'll see more coming in the future on the water heater side, particularly if DOE finalizes their rule where all electric equipment 30 and up has to go to heat pump solutions. There's going to be a customer drive. I think that's kind of what we see here, and what's missing a lot of the conversation is that voice of the customer. They're not going to want to go backwards to cold showers.
You travel a lot.
You
travel a lot. You probably talk to a lot of contractors, maybe. You know, that's our audience. Contractors are our audience. What's the messaging from PERC to contractors? Or what are the questions you're hearing, and what are your answers to those questions?
So I think one question we hear is can we still do this? And the answer to that is 100% yes. Propane equipment, it's on the market, approved for installation, ready to go. And making that decision in that equipment today can pay dividends for years to come. We're going to, you know, for the equivalent amount of energy taken from the electric grid, propane reduces the emissions by 52%, same amount of energy. We're bringing renewable propane into the marketplace. We've seen it in California and other states for several years. We've seen it delivered into the East Coast this year. More availability there will impact our residential and commercial consumers in the future. That's going to even further lower the emissions. I think there's one day we're going to see this hybrid solution is going to make the decision for electric versus gas based on the emissions. And at 6 o'clock at night when it's dark and the renewables have gone off the grid, it's going to be so much cleaner to run direct high efficiency gas propane appliances than it would be to pull that much more off of a marginal emissions portfolio. So the question is, plumbers, can we do it? Yes, it's there. It's a good decision for your building, for your customer. other questions, you know, we get a little bit of regulatory, you know, question, you know, this city did this, this city did that. You know, we support NFPA 58 in the propane space, and then the jurisdictional authority has that decision. And our mm-hmm. propane marketers are equipped to support plumbers and HVAC technicians in their local markets, navigating those situations. And that's really the benefit of that local one-on-one relationship.
How big is agriculture?
About 10% of the propane market
is it?
Okay. Today. Really important to us. I mean, you recognize where the farm is. There's really not a lot of opportunity for natural
gas. That's why I asked.
Yeah, electrification on the farm is hard. You got to put up a lot of poles and move a lot of things during in the middle of the pigs. So building heat this time of the year, very critical. I mean, we're keeping the food stock warm. We've finished the grain drying season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll kick back off with planting, progressive opportunities with what's called weed flaming. So we've seen a lot of herbicide resistant weeds popping up, particularly in the corn crop, and how we can treat some fields to eliminate those and move away from some pesticides. Big project out in California with soil steaming to move away from a really challenging chemical, but it's the only solution to date that's been there, is the chemical treatment, really open up more ground for strawberry and lettuce and onions sure. and farmings and things. So ag's a huge part of what we do at PERC.
Talk about the safety of the safety and the like the energy efficiency of propane.
So fortunately, we are a very inherently safe fuel. There's, you know, combined in a container, moved through the piping, goes through the burner, very, very controlled. It's not a environmental hazard. We're listed in the Clean Air Act. We don't have soil or contaminant like you would have with oil or diesel. So it's very clean environmentally. I mean, if you think about it, some of the most groundbreaking heat pumps that you see on the floor here are charged with R290 refrigerant, which is unodorized propane, refrigerant grade propane. So it's an extremely low global warming potential. So very, very safety conscious. But that's also because it's safety is key to our industry and is at the heart of everything that our technicians and our marketers do in the field. Then from an efficiency standpoint, you know, over 85% of the energy that's extracted at production is delivered into the burner tip. Whereas we look at 32% of electricity from production to consumption is available. So we start at an efficiency gain. Product on the floor today going up to 143% efficient, a COP of 1.43 with a gas heat pump. So there's new technology, and that's kind of one of our messages is don't make a decision today that stops technology. Then we eliminate the brilliance of Americans.
Well, before we get you out of here, one final question I had is, you know, we saw what customers were doing during COVID with suddenly I'm spending 24 hours a day in my home. I want to build a backyard kitchen. I want to retrofit my, you know, my home. How much has new building or remodeling helped propane?
Oh, it's been tremendous. I think the trend that continues to be that outdoor space. I mean, nobody's really gotten used to having their neighbors back in their house yet. So all of our new construction projects we see, I was at the manufactured housing show in Louisville, Kentucky last week,
mm-hmm.
and they had HUD code manufactured homes with outdoor kitchens attached. So, I mean, it is pervasive through the industry. Nobody, you know, who's going to ask you to come over to their back porch and get their George Foreman out? It's not happening. You're going to have a propane outdoor kitchen.
George Foreman, yeah, baby.
So look forward to seeing you at IBS here in about a month. But thank you for joining us on Appetite for Construction.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Look who we have here.
I know. Special cameo.
Special cameo. Barry Campbell.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good to hang out.
Catherine. What's your last
name? Oh, Chapman.
Catherine Chapman with BitRip.
Yeah.
So Barry's been working with BitRip, and tell us a little bit about the technology.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we've done is we've partnered with SureTape Technologies to launch a product called BitRip, and it's a threefold product. So you download a free app on your phone, and you scan over one of the pre-printed labels, which is kind of like a QR code, but it's like a QR code on steroids. And when you scan over one of these labels, what you're able to do is enter any kind of information. So you can enter a manual for a unit. You could enter spare parts lists, photos.
The application is almost endless.
Completely endless. And it makes it really simple for anybody working in the field to access information that otherwise they might have to Google or call somebody in an office. And it just gives them all the information they need right at their fingertips. When they walk onto the job site, they scan the code and they can see everything that was left for them by the previous service guy or whoever was there before them.
Yeah.
Now, we've had the chance to meet on Zoom calls. We actually got to meet last night and finally got to meet Catherine. Bitrep has a very interesting history. We've talked to Nick. Nick isn't here. But Catherine, can you share a little bit about the foundation and how Bitrep came about? Because it's a very interesting story.
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. So Nick, my co-founder, when we met, he had just come out of serving 13 years in the Marine Corps. He was a fighter pilot, which is really cool. But he was also a logistician, meaning Nick was in charge of when it was time to go, making sure that you had the right stuff. And when you think about it, you look at 10 Pelican cases, they all look the same, but they contain different contents. Mm-hmm. And it can mean either you have what you need for the mission or you don't. And so what Nick really struggled to do was to track all of that inventory and keep track of what is what when you're forward. You don't have a computer. You don't have fancy technology. And so he often found himself going back to an Excel spreadsheet and a sheet of paper to try and track inventory. So when we met at a think tank in Boston, he had this idea of this really simple way to track your stuff, whatever that might be. And so he took his knowledge and his experience in the military and he said, as a Marine, it's got to be really simple. And so that's really been our founding principle is keep it simple, keep it really easy. And using Nick's military background, we're excited about what we get to do.
So Barry, you've been a good friend for a long time.
Long time.
And so you're kind of walking the show as a freelance in the show. What have you seen that's been exciting or anything that?
I think Bitrep is absolutely a very exciting product. So it's nice to be working with these guys and using that. I also have come across a new tankless water heater that has no element, so it won't scale, and hard water won't really affect it too much. So. I think that's a really cool product as well that I think is going to be new to the market and shake things up a little bit. That's really what I've seen. I haven't been like looking at products as much as.
Now, how did you get connected with Bitrep?
Actually, my cousin.
Your cousin. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got all kinds of interesting stories like that. I mean, I think you knew that my wife and I met at AHR Expo.
Yeah. Well, you told me earlier today.
Yeah, so it was not a trade show hookup, though. Just to be clear, like we went on a date after we met at a trade show. So
was it only trade shows? What was it? Only trade shows?
I see where you're going with that, JP. I see where you're going with that. Anyway,
no. So yeah, I mean, we met at an HR. Way back in Atlantic City when they had AHR Expos in smaller towns like that.
Oh, yeah. I was at that one.
Yeah, that was a memorable one. And then, of course, the New York with the snowstorm was the other.
We talked about that the other night.
Yeah, that was an epic time. I remember walking through Times Square, just these huge snowflakes and snow everywhere. It's lit up like 4th of July. It was amazing.
So speaking of that, as we've spent as long as we have coming to these shows, how much of the show is different? I mean, you've seen the growth in software. You've seen the growth in all the different technology. When you bring on a client like Bitrep, how much is technology driving this industry?
That's an awesome question. I think our industry has been kind of slow to adopt new technologies, but I think that is rapidly changing. And just the AHR Expo app. I mean, I told several people, I'm like, look, you got to download this app. It makes a tremendous difference. And a few of them didn't. They're like, oh, yeah, I should have done that. I'm like, yeah, you should. I mean, when I was on the editorial side of things, if I had that app, it would have been really nice. So that's one of the things. And then even today, like we just met a customer that I want to do a case study with, and he hands me, he just has me scan his card. It takes him right to the business information. We exchange information. So when I go to call him, he'll actually take my call because he's not going to see the number. He's going to say, oh, this is the guy that I talked to at AHR. Those kind of things are amazing. I think the industry still is, you know, I think there's still a little bit of that lag and slowness, but I think the digital impact is significant, and it's positive.
All right. So we wanted to bring you on for a couple minutes to talk about BitRip on the podcast here on the show floor, but it's a preview for the podcast that we're going to do in a few weeks with Catherine and with Nick, right?
Absolutely. No, we're looking forward to it.
Look, you know, stay tuned for that. We'll have them on, and we'll be more comprehensive talk about BitRip and the technology.
Maybe by then we can get a little review of what you thought of AHR and how valuable it's been for you in connecting with contractors and specifiers and engineers and stuff.
Definitely. What I like about it is everybody's here.
Yeah.
So we serve so many different, we serve wholesalers, we serve manufacturers, we serve contractors, and they're all here.
Yep.
And this is, it's such a, when you're introducing something new, you have to build some trust with whoever's going to be using your product, and being able to meet people face to face, it's fantastic. Really, really valuable.
Well, thanks for jumping on, and good luck with the rest of the show.
Great.
Thank you guys so much.
Always fun.